Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading, My Son's Been Collecting Chicken Teeth. I just wish I knew what they really were before it was too late. This is by Bongo Bongo's Revenge. I hope you enjoy it. A few years ago, I bought a farm for me and my son. It started out as a hobby, a way to distract myself from the death of my ex-wife. Eventually, it grew into a small business, and I began supplying local diners with produce. Things were going great, but it all started to fall apart after I met my new girlfriend, Mindy. Weird things started appearing in my mailbox, like grains of uncooked rice, a bouquet of dead flowers, and oddly enough, my old wedding band. At the same time, some chickens had begun to go missing from one of the henhouses in my backyard. I assumed it was the work of coyotes or wolves, and I set up motion detector lights and cameras to catch them in the act, but none of them ever worked. After trying out my fifth set, I gave up on them entirely. My son Sean had just reached the age where he began to lose baby teeth, and after receiving his first dollar from the tooth fairy, he became obsessed with the idea of cash for teeth. I caught him stuffing little black pebbles under his pillow one night, and when I asked him what he was doing, he told me I had put chicken teeth under there to trick the tooth fairy. I laughed and tried to explain to him that chickens didn't have teeth, but he was adamant that they did because he found them in the henhouse. I decided to humor him, and after dinner that night, we armed ourselves with flashlights and headed out the kitchen's back door to the farm so Sean could search for some of his elusive hen veneers. As we passed the barn, something felt off. The pigs were awake and had wandered to a corner of their pen to stare at the henhouse. I heard them softly snorting in quick succession like they were hyperventilating or something. Sean didn't seem to notice, or maybe he just didn't care. He skipped along singing some impromptu song about chicken teeth. As I walked away from the pigs, I began to hear something else, like wet smacking and crunching sounds coming from the henhouse. I knew it had to be whatever was killing my chickens, and quickly scooped Sean up and ran back to the house to drop him off and get my gun. I raced him back to the henhouse, rifle ready in my hands, but I couldn't hear the munching anymore. Instead, I found a message written in hen's blood on the floor of the coop that read, "Till death do us part." Just as I finished reading it, I heard a scream from the house. "Sean," I thought, and began running back to the house. I tried the back door, but it was locked. I heard another scream and I kicked the knob until it gave way. The first thing I saw were more messages written in chicken blood on the floor, walls, and countertops. Cheater, liar, adulterer. I didn't have time to read them all as I barreled towards Sean's room. I burst through the door and saw poor Sean in the corner of his bed, his sheets pulled up to his eyes. "Sean, are you okay?" I said. He didn't respond, but it looked like he was staring at something behind me. I slowly began to turn around and found myself face to face with the rotting corpse of my ex-wife. She shrieked and pounced on me. I was so shocked I lost my balance and found myself on my back with the corpse of my ex trying to bite and claw at my face. Still clutching my rifle, I pushed the length of it into her chest to keep her snapping maw away from me. My hands were getting sweaty and I was losing the grip on my gun. I looked up and saw a centipede crawl out from one of her nostrils and slip under her left eye. All of a sudden, she stopped biting, and her head began to violently shake around like a cocktail mixer. She opened her mouth and a sea of bugs and insects flooded out, covering my face. I rolled over, dropping my rifle to wipe bugs off my face and out of my mouth. When my wife bit down on my arm, hard, I heard bones snap and I went blind with pain as my arm wilted in my dead wife's jaws. I screamed and swiftly tore my limp arm out of her mouth, taking several of her little rotting teeth with it. I began scooting backward and blindly reaching for my gun, and by luck I found it. I put the stock to my shoulder, rested the barrel on my shattered arm and fired it into her face, sending her nose somewhere into the depths of her skull. The thing sputtered on the floor while viscous and bugs oozed out of its new face hole. I ran over to the bed, grabbed Sean with my good arm, and sped outside the house. My ex-wife's wails followed us all the way out to my truck and were only muted by the radio blaring to life. We raced down the road and were about halfway to the police station when my heart sank. Mindy was supposed to come over sometime after dinner. With only one good arm, I had Sean use my cell phone to call Mindy, but it went to voicemail every time. I turned the car around, put my foot to the floor until we were about a block away from the house. I could see Mindy's car in the driveway, and I skidded my truck onto the front lawn, locked Sean in, and I ran inside. The house was dead quiet. So quiet, my own breathing was deafening, and every squeaky floorboard felt like an atom bomb going off. I checked every room in the house until all that was left was my bedroom. I put a hand on the knob and slowly cracked the door just an inch or so and was greeted with the most rancid odor I had ever smelled in my entire life. I took a deep breath in and held it as I opened the door, then immediately exhaled into a coughing fit as I fought the urge to vomit. On the bed was Mindy. Her stomach was hollowed out like somebody had taken a giant ice cream scoop to her abdomen. I couldn't believe my eyes, and I think I went into shock because I couldn't explain to you just why I began walking over to her. The tips of her ribs gleamed in the moonlight creeping in from the window. It shone over the black empty cavity, making her bones look like teeth in the cavernous maw of a beast. I was now standing beside Mindy and could see that something was carved into her forehead. Gutless bitch. I knew the words were meant for me. The etching was so deep I could see the white of her skull. I stumbled back, slipping on a piece of intestine that had been carelessly discarded, and rushed back outside to see Sean. I hopped back into the truck and it dawned on me that in the whirlwind of chaos that had just unfolded, I hadn't even called the police yet. Almost worse, I didn't know what the hell to tell them. Me and Sean had moved since, and I ended up telling the cops a deranged woman had broken in and chased us out before butchering my girlfriend when she got home. It was all true. They said my story checked out, but they never found who killed her. Rather, they never found my wife. We've traded the farm life for a nice safe apartment with very few hiding spots and have been living modestly. But the reason I've decided to share all this is because this morning, Sean ran up to me, hands cupped. "Look, Dad," he said before uncupping his hands to reveal small, dark, rotten-looking pebbles. "I found chicken teeth under my bed this morning." And that's the end of this story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you're on YouTube, let me know. Leave me a comment, maybe like the video and subscribe for more. Maybe we'll actually get somewhere with this channel. If you're anywhere else, I'm not sure what your options are, but I thank you for being here. And a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. I really appreciate your generosity. If you'd like to come hang out with us, there are links to the Discord in the description below. Thank you for being here. Take care now. Bye-bye then.